Libby Gore on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
This morning, we're going to talk about you, because inside every life, there's something special. Gabriella Marie Kelly Davies is the founder of Share Your Life Story, because if there's something very special about you, she wants to help you bring it out and put it on the page. Good morning to you, Gabriella.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Oh, I'm thrilled to speak to you. I think it's a very interesting thing that you're doing. How do you take people's stories and put them on a page? What an interesting profession.
Well, the first thing you do is you have a chat with them. And usually I interview people for probably 2 hours at a time. And, you know, sometimes I ask one question and I get their whole life story, you know, splurting out. Other times I have to prod and poke. And we tend to do a few interviews. We probably do 4, 5, 6 interviews over a period of 6 weeks. And I transcribe the interviews and then use them as the basis of writing their story. So I don't just tweak the transcript, I turn it into a story. So when you're reading it, it's almost like you're reading a novel, but you're really reading the details of somebody's life.
So how would you describe yourself in the writing profession? Are you a ghost writer, or are you a therapist?
Yes.
Or are you a, what are you?
Well, when I write a memoir, I'm a ghost writer. But when I write a biography, I'm a biographer. So when you write a memoir, it's in the first person. So if I was writing Libby Gore's memoir, you'd be saying, I did this, I did that. Whereas if I'm writing a biography in the third person, I'd be saying, Libby Gore is doing this, or Libby Gore is doing that.
I understand those differences, but a memoir is like a certain period of time, is it not? Like, for instance, whilst you were Prime Minister of Australia, or whilst you were... Is that right?
Yes, so a memoir is a collection of memories, and so you can just write about a theme in your life, so falling in love, or your failed love affairs, or when you were Prime Minister, or, you know, when you had your babies or whatever.
A curation.
It doesn't have to be a fixed duration, but it might be just a theme that runs through your life, or it could be a fixed duration, so it could be just a trip overseas to Italy. So a memoir tends to be a smaller subsection of your life, whereas a life story starts at the beginning and follows you right through.
Do many people want to do that? Like, I remember Albert Facey. Do you remember Albert B. Facey, A Fortunate
yes.
Life? I mean, that was ordinary person with the extraordinary life. And that's truly, ordinary people do have extraordinary lives.
They do. And absolutely everybody has an extraordinary story to tell, because we all experience the world differently. And we all learn from, you know, things that happen in our life. We all have different experiences. And so people really love to learn what you've learned through living through your trials and tribulations. They also want to know what your joyful experiences were, and what really, you know, made you happy, particularly family. So family want to hold on to the memories of their parents and grandparents. And so often people say to me that they want to capture their parents' or grandparents' story before they pass. And other people say, I'm really disappointed and, you know, really regret that I didn't capture my grandmother's stories before she passed. So, you know, family members and friends really want to hold on to the stories of their loved ones.
How do you say that to a family member, that you want to capture their memories, without saying, look, you look like you're about to fall off the perch, so can you talk into this?
You do it before they look like they're falling off their perch. Right. So for their 60th birthday, or 70th, or 80th, or 90th birthday, you know, it often just comes up in families. You know, when you get together at Christmas or birthdays or whatever, and parents or grandparents start telling stories, it's at that point that family members often say, "Oh, I'd love to sit down and record all your stories and write them up." And so that's how the conversation often starts. And then people say, oh, well, I can't write. I haven't got time to do it. You know, can you do it for me? So that tends to be how it happens.
If you've done this, please feel free to join the conversation. 1300 222 07734, or you can text me on 0437 774 774. I'm still getting funny stories coming in texts about what people have said to their anaesthetist. Can I read you?
Oh, right. Yeah,
Leanne said,
I'd love, you could write a memoir about your funny conversations with anaesthetists.
You could. I had a breathing tube in and I wrote the anaesthetist to please seduce me. I meant to say sedate me. It's funny that the anaesthetists are generally charming, aren't they? They're about to give you drugs and they just say, just don't worry about this. So if you wanted to, where would you start? So do you start at the beginning or do you start at a incident?
Well, you know, it really depends on what you want. So if a person wants to write about one very narrow part of their life, like going to Italy, you just start at the point of, okay, well, tell me about your trip. And you let it all blurt out. And then as a writer, what you do is you work out a structure that works for it.
Right.
Whereas other people might start talking about their grandparents and their childhood, and then you work your way through their life. So it really just depends on how much of someone's life they want to cover. What I find at the end of the day is most people end up wanting to cover the whole of their life.
I want to tell the whole bit. This is the beautiful text message from Lynn. She said, my mother always wanted to tell her story, so I engaged my friend Simon, who does this as a career. We did this over a period of 2 years where Simon would come and interview Mum about her life. Mum loved it. She would both laugh and cry at recollections, but loved it. Mum managed to read her book filled with photos and stories of her life before she passed away this February at 96 years.
How wonderful. That is such a lovely story.
All Mum's five kids and grandchildren now all have a copy of A Penny for Your Thoughts to pass on and keep for history life.
Aww.
It's so touching, isn't it? I bet you her name
was
Penny.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I read a story for one lady and she said, she gave a copy to everybody that she mentioned in the book, and she said half of them ring me bawling their eyes out and the other half ring giggling and they can't stop laughing.
So, you have to be kind of careful, though, what you wrote about other people, wouldn't you?
I mean, you do. Yeah, you have to be very, very careful. And you always have to be thinking in terms of, I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to reveal any secrets, like that my best friend had an affair that her husband doesn't know about. Mm. So you always have to be... You know, I think one thing that happens in interviews is that people blurt it all out, but then as a writer you use discretion about what you put in and you check with them and say, do you really want this in there?
Yeah.
You know, like, do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
So you go backwards and forwards, and often once people see it written on paper, they think, oh, no, I don't want that there. Yeah, I have second thoughts.
So Carl's on the line. I'll take that call because it's 4 minutes to 11 o'clock. Just a quick answer to this question by text. Can you write a book that includes revealing letters from a criminal who was previously a family member over 25 years ago? When are their letters to you able to be published? I think they're your letters once they go in the letterbox, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, they're your letters, but I'd still use discretion, and I think I'd probably get some legal advice.
Yeah.
So you do need to be very careful, and, you know, some people are happy to reveal all, but I think that you really do need to be cautious, and you don't want to be defamed. You don't want to be accused. You get a defamation case brought against you. So,
Carl, your question, please, or just your comment.
Oh, hello. I've just got a comment. Sorry, I'm all croaky this morning.
That's all right.
Yeah, we discovered recently we had a convict relative, which would have been utterly astonishing because nobody had any idea. And I thought I might write about that. But before that, I decided I would write my own, if you like, memoirs. I'm in my mid-70s now.
Yep.
And I started about 3 weeks ago, and it's a fantastic experience. I mean, all the memories that it's bringing back from being a small kid living in the bush. And
It's a wonderful experience.
Yeah,
that's right. What you find is once you get started, and it'll just all pours out. And it's a wonderful process to go through.
It's true. I've got a text from Catherine. This is the shadow on the topic. What if the memories and stories are just that and are someone's perspective and don't have any basis in fact from other people's perspective? How do you encourage the person for once in their life to tell the truth, which is sounds like someone's been burned?
Yeah, well, you do need to be – you always need to ensure that you tell the truth. I think being honest and having integrity is a really important part of writing a memoir. And you always have to be thinking in terms of who could this hurt.
Who could this hurt? Sue, hello.
Oh, hello there.
Go on, your turn.
My dad, who's 96, has just published his life story with the help of his companion and the rest of our family. And it's done a marvellous job. It's 100 pages of stories and photos. But the way they've done it is half of it is a chronological thing, like talking about the family and him growing up, whatever. And the other half is wonderful stories he's always been telling us over the years. And he puts a disclaimer in at the front that he might not have always got everything 100% accurate.
That's exactly what you have to do, I guess, because memories can be flawed, can't they, Gabriella?
They can be, yes. They can be flawed. Yes, and our memories are very flawed. And so you always have to remember when you're reading a memoir that that's one person's
perspective
on the world and on the memory.
Gabriella, thank you for joining us this morning. We're coming up to the 11 o'clock news. A weird old program this morning. We had the Premier making an announcement at the beginning, so we're slightly cut short, but I can't thank you enough. Gabriella Marie Kelly-Davies is the founder of Share Your Life Story. You can find her online if you'd like more information and encouragement to write your own Share Your Life Story.